And so we're looking at pursuing faith, growing our faith, as 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says of the Thessalonians Christians, that it says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater." So as you walk in love with Jesus and your family and your friends and your enemies and your neighbors and everybody, and you nurture that faith and use that faith, it will increase, enlarge, and grow. God made you a miracle person. He made you a person to secure miracles, more and more miracles as your life goes on, rather than less and less miracles. So, very quickly, faith is taught and caught in the Scriptures in six different ways. First of all, as we've already looked at, you hear it. There's the hearing of faith. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing. So we got to hear the word of the Lord. You've got to hear that still small voice in the midst of all the many other voices. And you know, so many people are on social media now, and my concern today is that they're hearing far more the voices of others and the voices of this world system, and being distressed by all those things. And you know, sometimes people are kind of shaping the future in such a way that people are more fearful. And unfortunately, that sometimes comes through kind of Christian sources. And so it's so important that you yourself hear God's voice. Hear God's voice. Let Him say to you, it's going to be all right. Let Him say to you that what is happening to others is not going to happen to you. Psalm 112 says the person who walks in the fear of the Lord will have no fear of bad news. No fear of bad news. I have no fear of bad news. I'm not going to decline. I'm not going to get cancer or kidney disease or whatever. I have no fear of that whatsoever. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that when you are a person of faith, you connect and align yourself, and you do not let go of what God says is important. And so hearing is so important. One of the blessings of lockdown in our time is that you're kind of stuck in the house more. And so it gives people an opportunity to reflect more on themselves and their life and their purpose and where they're going and what's happened and what's happening. And there is also then the opportunity to hear that still small voice, to hear the voice that prompts faith in you. Because when you hear the voice of the Lord, and you know this is the voice of the Lord, faith rises in you, and you know the supernatural is about to unfold. So the hearing of faith is so very important. Galatians 3 and verse 2 also give us another vital key. He says, "I only want to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" The hearing of faith. And so it's vital to hear the word of the Lord, because that's what kind of activates faith in your life and brings forth the miraculous. There's also seeing what it is God's promised to you. Isaiah 51 and verse 6 says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look at the earth beneath." You know, oftentimes our eyes can be below the earth and looking at what's on the earth. But that's not the instruction we have from the manual of life. The Bible says, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens." And so the idea is that you lift up your eyes to the heavens, and that is the perspective from which you look down at the earth beneath. You look from heaven's view to the earth. And so if you look from heaven's view to the earth, then you're seeing what God sees. And so you're seeing the promises fulfilled. You're seeing yourself in the promised land. You're seeing yourself in the promotion, in the job, in the employment, in the health, and getting in the university and having good, whatever it is you're seeing, because that's God's point of view. He says, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. That's how he sees us. He looks at his kids and says, I want you to have abundant life. That's how he sees us. So when you and I look from heaven's point of view, that's what we should see. We're also not only to hear it and see it, but to read it. Matthew 4 and verse 4 says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That is the word of God that's written, but also the word that is spoken from the Holy Spirit into your heart, into your hearing. That's part of reading this word, is reading the word and allowing the Holy Spirit to take the written word and making it the spoken word. And I'm sure that is an experience you've had many times. And that's why God spoke to Joshua and he told him in the first chapter there, don't let this law depart from your eyes day and night, because that's how you'll prosper. It's this word orientation, this word connection, this word reception. So it's vital to stay with the word, to read the word. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 in relation to faith says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so it's coming to God, believing him, and this is in the word of God, and that he is a rewarder. So what our part of this process is coming to God, believing. His part is the reward. Now, it's kind of interesting, this word reward in the original language means is the word mythos, and it means a payment, and it refers to a kind of a commercial term, a transaction. So God's really trying to say something here. He says, when you come to God, there is a transaction that's to take place. If you come with faith, then you are coming, bringing your offering. And God says in this transaction, the reward that comes is God's payment. He says, I require from you a payment of faith to release the miraculous. That's putting it in commercial terms, but it helps us understand there's this transaction. If you went to the store and you said, well, okay, I got my cart here, and I got it filled with all these groceries here, but I'm just going to walk out, they'll arrest you. You have to make a payment. You have to make a payment. You don't get that stuff without making a payment. And so this word actually kind of helps us to understand that this is a transaction. He that comes to God must believe, first of all. And not only believe that God's there. And many people say, well, I believe in God. Yeah. But is he a rewarder? I was reading one man said, well, I don't know that you can expect God to heal your body or give you a new job. You know, just someday in the kingdom that's coming, you know, all those things will be settled. No. He says that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. You know, what would you say of a father who said, well, son, I'd give you some food, but you're just going to have to wait till the kingdom comes. You know, the coming kingdom. You just have to starve until then. That father would be, you know, taken away. And that's not our father. He says, I have something for you. You bring your faith, and I'll cause there to be a release of the miraculous. And that's why it's called the law of faith. When you go to the store and you give your money, then you get the stuff. And it's something we do all the time. So God wants us to understand that as we come to him, that there is this kind of response. So we hear it, we see it, we read it, and we say it. Romans 10 and verses 8 to 10 tell us that you came into Christ because you made a confession of faith. It's vital to make a confession of faith. It's vital to say about every circumstance what God says about it, not what the world says, or science or the economists or whatever, But to say about everything what God's word says about it, what he says about it. And, you know, this actually goes beyond where most or many people live. Romans 4 and verse 17 says that God calls those things that are not as though they were. He calls those things that are not as though they were. And so he requires us to do the same. He lives in us and he expects us to do what he does. It's just that simple. You and I learn to talk different. If you don't learn to talk different, you'll only have what you have already had and worse. I like to kind of put it in this way, and I learned this from a man some years ago, that your faith is like the thermostat in your house. And if you go to the thermostat, it will tell you what the temperature is. But if it's not the temperature you want, you move the thermostat to what you want it to be. So if it's 65 or 22 and you want it to be 25, you move it to 25. You call it to be what it should be. And that's what you and I do. Some people say, well, but you know, Pastor, that's just not being real. Tell Abraham that. He continued to introduce himself every day of his life as Abraham, father of many nations. They should have said to him, you know, go back to Abram. That doesn't mean father of many nations. You're lying. You're just not in reality. But depends on which reality you're concerned with. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we don't look at those things that are temporal, but we look at those things that are eternal. So we see from a different perspective. And once you see from a different perspective, you are to speak from a different perspective. Is that you are declaring what is meant to be by your mouth. He calls those things that are not as though they are. And this is a vital thing to learn. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we have a great sort of compilation of all the things I've been kind of teaching you on this. And I'd like to kind of bring them together here because they help us to understand sometimes the struggle that we have in learning the ways of faith. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So this is what God says. He says, I'm going to start off with your identity. And so I just like you to kind of step into this story of Jeremiah and what God is saying to him as God selects him with a life purpose and a life mission. And it's so applicable to our lives as we look at this story. God says, I formed you in the womb. Well, God, we know that God formed you in the womb. So in that sense, you're no different than Jeremiah. God says, I knew you. I know who you are. I formed you. Then he says, I knew you. He knew you. He knew who you would be before your physical body was actually even fully formed. And he says, before you were born, I set you apart. God knew the very day that you would come to faith in him, and he had already in mind a mission and a plan for your life. And so there's this divine destiny and connection that you have with him. And because there's the divine destiny and connection you have with him, he's put something inside of you that connects you with him and that purpose. It takes you out of the mundane and the ordinary and lifts you into a place of the extraordinary life that God intended you to have. Before you were born, I set you apart. So you weren't meant to be just ordinary. And he says, and I appointed you. I appointed you. God has appointed you to win and not to lose, to succeed and not to fail, to be blessed and not to suffer continual loss. Oh, you may have some losses sometime, but you're going to come back. You're going to come back. That's who God made you to be. So let's go on here. These are the wrong confessions. Jeremiah says, ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I do not know how to speak. I do not know how to speak. God's word says, I will put my words in your mouth. You've got to take his word and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that those words that come into your heart come out of your mouth. So, we see that you must hear the voice of the Lord. You have to see with the eyes of faith the promises fulfilled. You know, God talked about a promised land before they ever moved toward it. He wanted to get them to visualize not only the promised land, but to see themselves in it. And that's what God wants you and I to do. And I said, well, that's just too far off for me. No, no, you visualize that as you do many other things. And so God wants us to hear it, see it, read it, and also to say it. Romans 10, 8 to 10 tells us, as you know, that you and I came to faith in Christ because of the fact that we made a confession of faith. We actually said some words. And sometimes I ask people, do you know Christ as their Savior? They say, well, yes. I say, well, how do you know that? Was there ever a time where you actually made a confession of faith? If you didn't make a confession of faith, if just because you go to a building, you own a Bible, you have a Christian friend, that doesn't necessarily make you a believer. One woman attended our congregation for 3 months before she realized she had never actually become a Christian. She didn't really realize that she had to make a confession of faith. She had to speak words that she believed, and as a result, caused this transaction to take place, in which the transformation of her life for eternity would happen. And so we see also from the scripture that when Israel did not speak the right words of faith, the Bible says they gave an evil report. Some people would say that's realism. That's being sensible. That's being logical. The Bible says if it's contrary to what God says, it's an evil report. It has a moral value that is wrong and invites disappointment in the least and judgment at best. They were kept out of the promised land because they could not speak in alignment with what God had said. We don't want to be guilty of calling God a liar, do we? No, we don't want to. And so your confession is your inheritance. Romans 4 and verse 17, we see the scripture says that we learn as faith people to call those things that are not as though they were. And so Jesus taught his disciples to do that. He says, that's what I want you to do. If God calls things that are not as though they were, I want you to do that. And so he named a man, Abraham, father of many nations, who had to continually introduce himself as the father of many nations. And it was years before it manifested, but the Bible says he staggered not. He regarded the facts. That's the earthly reality. But he didn't go with that. He went with the heavenly reality. He didn't kind of try to, hedge a little bit and say, well, I used to be Abram, and, that's probably kind of more really who I am. But, God says I should accept this name of being Abraham, father of many nations. I don't have any children. We're getting older and older all the time. And, it doesn't look good. No, he didn't do that. He said straight up, my name's Abraham, father of many nations. God expects us to learn to talk different. We can hedge, we can be cautious, we can be sensible, we can be realistic, we can be all those things that this earth describes as connecting with reality and not living in denial. But God says, if you're a faith person, you talk different. And so Jesus did that. He spoke to a dead man. In other words, he called those things that were not as though they were. He spoke to Lazarus as though he wasn't dead. He spoke to him as though he could hear. And he did, and he came out. And so we learn to talk differently. We learn to talk differently. And we learn to speak to things with spiritual commands, with faith, rather than just about that. The whole world speaks about. And so, as we continue in the story of Jeremiah chapter 1, we see a great compilation of some of these truths we've been talking to about. God said, the word of the Lord came to me before I formed you in the womb. I knew you. I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And so this is his introduction to Jeremiah, and this is his introduction to you, to us. He says, before you were born, I knew you, and I set you apart, and I appointed you. That's who you are, just like Jeremiah. And if God says, I have put my eye upon you and set you apart and appointed you, it's so that you couldn't just walk through life, be subject to every circumstance and condition and worldly threat and trouble that's in this world. I called you to something higher than just an earthly life. And it's so important to realize that 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us that our eyes are not on the things that are temporal. That's the earth, and it's the fact that it's passing away. But our eyes are upon things eternal. And so we speak from that point of view. I am well. I'm blessed. I'm moving forward. I'm possessing my possessions. Those things that God has promised. Our new facility. We celebrated a receiving celebration as a congregation. And we declare we received it. We received it. Because that's what faith people do. We have it. It's ours. That's what Abraham did. That's what you and I did. Oh, yes, but you're... But whatever reality you want to live with, that's the one you talk about. If you want the earth a reality that's all with sight, or if you want the heavenly reality, then speak as God teaches you to speak from his point of view about everything. From an eternal point of view. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says his last words were, "It is finished." So everything that was necessary for redemption was already... So you got healed back then. You got blessed. You got provided for. You got delivered. It was all done then. So let's agree with him. Let's agree with him. It's finished. Every provision that I need for prospering, for fulfilling my calling and assignment and ministry, every provision I need to do the works of God, I have it. I have received it. God isn't going to do it anymore. He already did it. He already did it. There's a great song that I encourage you to listen to by William McDowell called It's Already Done. You can find that on the internet. And, you know, those people were like us as a church family. They were believing for a building. And so they declared that they had received that. And they had a journey. And recently, that manifestation took place. But they were already receiving it before they had it manifested. And so we learn to live differently as faith people. If you just try to live the Christian life with an earthly perspective, the way all other sort of non-Christian people live, you'll live at that level, just an earthly level, subject to everything that's going on. That's not who God made you to be. And so Jeremiah said some things. He said, Ah, Lord, he said, I do not know. I do not know. But God's word says you have the mind of Christ. Often I ask people questions, well, I don't know. Well, maybe you do know. But you haven't accessed all the information that you have. You haven't accessed that. Because the one who knows everything lives inside of me and he lives inside of you. At the most critical moments of your life, you need some information. And it's that information that puts you across to the other side. It's that voice of God that says, this is what you're to do. This is what you're to know. This is how you're to respond. I remember I was facing a difficult situation. And I didn't know what kind of perspective I should take about it. How would I look at it? And you know, oftentimes our temptation in life is to take a thing and analyze it to death. And we try to come up with some sort of answers or solutions that we're comfortable with so we can move on. But one of the great secrets of life is if you don't figure it out soon, leave it aside, ask God to tell you in His time, and get on with what you know to do. So I was distressed, I was perplexed and bothered by this circumstance. But I took it to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, I can't figure it. I can't make sense of it. I'm not even certain really how to respond in it. But you know, God came to me with some information that came in the form of a dream. And in that dream, it was kind of a fascinating dream. I won't go into it right now, but after I woke up, and I'm not a person that has a lot of dreams. Maybe it's because I'm not a very spiritual person, but I don't have a lot of those kind of dreams. But this was a dream that stayed with me, and even the next day. And so as I was just meditating on the dream, I said, you know, Lord, interpret this message, because this is, I believe, some vital information for me. And God caused me to understand the significance of that dream on that day. The next day, there was a knock on my front door. And we opened the door, and not prearranged was a friend of mine and a stranger. And he came in and introduced the stranger to me, and we sat down in the front room and we're talking, and he just told me that this man had just written a book on how to interpret dreams that God gives you. Well, I thought, this is timely. It's timely that I had a dream that helped me to understand the situation that I was in and get a perspective and some wisdom of what to do about it. But the very next day, you know, God cares about whether or not you have the information that you need. Sometimes you don't need some questions answered to go on and walk with God. Sometimes you do. And apparently God decided I needed some information. So I had the dream, I had the interpretation. So I said, well, it just so happens that I had a dream two nights ago, and this was the dream, and this is how I interpreted it. And the man sat there and listened to what I said, and he's just written a book about it. And he said, I would say you have interpreted this dream exactly right. And then he went into all the principles behind it from the scriptures. These things mean X, Y, and Z, and so on. Well, the point of my story is this, is that God doesn't want you to suffer because you don't know. So stop saying, I don't know. Say, well, I haven't accessed the answer yet. And then put your ear to hear. He says, I don't know. And then he says, I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to speak. God says in His word, I will put my words in your mouth. You know, Moses gave the same excuse to God. I know how to speak. In fact, he says, I do know a guy who's really good at speaking, Aaron, get him. And the Bible says God got angry at him. And so he called Aaron, and Aaron came alongside of him. But down the road, Moses developed. And so when you look in the book of Acts, the Bible doesn't mention Aaron so much as a spokesman for Moses. It says Moses was powerful in speech and in action. Speech and in action. If you're going to be powerful in speech, you have to learn to say the right things. Say the right things. He says, I don't know how to speak. I am only a child. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. In other words, stop rehearsing, declaring, confessing your alleged wrong, unbiblical limitations. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Obey. Stop saying, I'm only a child. I only have this much. I only have this. Stop saying that stuff. In other words, if you're a faith person, you got to learn to speak right. Then he says, you must go to everyone I send you, and you must say whatever I command you. You got to go, and you got to say. You can't back away from that. That's true for all of us. You have to go, and you have to say. And so all this is part of our walk of faith, of getting the scripture inside of you and coming to agreement with God and his perspective. Excuse me. Speaking from heaven to earth. Excuse me. He says, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down and to destroy and to overthrow and to build and to plant. God has given you a mission that requires you to be a person of faith. And to act like a person of faith, you have to go and do and speak. You have to hear. You have to declare what he says. And lastly, as we close today, if you're going to be a faith person, you got to do something. John chapter 2 and verse 5, you know the story. Jesus is at the wedding, and his mother comes and says, hey, you know, they're running out of wine. He says, oh, what's that to do with me? And so she says to the servants, whatever he says, consider it. No, he doesn't. She doesn't say that. Whatever he says, well, weigh it up. If it seems reasonable and you think it'll work, or other people have done it. No, whatever he says, do it. Do it. You know, in the most critical moments of life, you don't have time for analysis and getting a wider circumference of opinion about it. You know, sometimes you just plain have to do it. I was driving a vehicle down a hill that looked certain to kill a number of people, maybe even myself. I had no brakes. It was a very, very large, heavily laden truck, lorry, big sides full of household rubble. I needed divine intervention. I needed divine intervention. I couldn't, there was no brakes. There was no way I could bring this truck to a stop in time. I needed help now. Let me tell you, when God says something to you, it will bring calm to your spirit. And when you step out on what he says to you, it'll resolve all those 49 questions that you might have considered if you just simply do it. Do it. Well, Pastor, what if I make a mistake? Well, God doesn't say, well, if you made a mistake, you know, you cease to be my child. No. Do what he says. James chapter 2 and verse 16 tells us that there is this connection of faith. If one of you says, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? He says, in the same way, faith by itself, it's not accompanied by action, is dead. God gave them a promise to take him in the promised land. They had to pack up. They had to pack up. How were they actually going to get there? Where exactly were they going to live? Who was going to live where? How was that going to be decided? Would they be allocated a place that they could till the land if they were that way oriented? Or would they be in a place where they could do some other manufacturing or whatever? Oh, thousands of questions could have arisen in their mind, but they had to start packing. That was their steps of faith. You know, it's so often to find yourself, if you're not careful, just waiting. After God's already given you some simple, basic instruction, do what you know to do. Get that tent off the ground and get it on the back of that donkey and put on all those new clothes you got and all those new earrings and get out of town. Yes, but where, forget all those. Just do it. If you're going to be a faith person, you have to be somebody who will do it. And the Bible says of Abram as well, God says, go. I'm not answering all the other questions, Abram. Yes, but where and how and so on and how close will we be to the Philistines? And so, God says, go. And the Bible says two words, Abram left. You know, that's so simple. He left. If you got in your car and you started down the street and the policeman stopped you and he said to you, where are you going? And you said, well, I'm not just certain. I just felt like God told me I needed to go. Okay. Are you on medication? Do you do this often? Because from an earthly perspective, what you're doing is stupid. But God says, it's the way of faith. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know the how. You just have to do what he says. Like the old hymn that we grew up with, trust and obey. God made you and I to be persons of faith. And I want to encourage you that you are such a person. You have such a destiny. You have such a calling. You have such a capacity. You have an ability to believe God and to have an ever-increasing harvest of miracles. You know, I see today people who are sick getting well because they're hearing the word of the Lord and they're taking it and saying, you know, God has made me well. He did it at Calvary 2,000 years ago. I am taking that as mine. I am healed in Jesus' name. I have a job in Jesus' name. I have the new home in Jesus' name. I have the doors of opportunity to reach my neighbors and my loved ones with the gospel that have been so closed. I have been given by God a mouth to speak and words that will penetrate, words that will reveal supernaturally where people are, and they will hear God through me. That's the person God made me to be. He made you to be. He made you to be a miracle worker. He made you to be a person who receives from his hand so you can give out of that hand to others. I want to pray for you today as you hear the word of the Lord, as you re-examine your foundation, which is Jesus, that you have connection with him by faith. And that faith connection with him makes you a powerful person, makes you a person who is ready to do what you haven't done in your past, simply because you believe and obey him. Father, thank you for the word today. We pray, Lord, as this message goes into our hearts, Lord, we will not live as we have. We will find ever increasingly, as the Thessalonians did, our faith growing because we use it more. We speak to things rather than just consider them. And we thank you in advance, Lord, that there are so many miracles that belong to us. As the song goes, there's a miracle coming to your address today. We thank you for that favor that releases those miracles by faith. We bless you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to look on the website and have a look at some of the songs that are mentioned there. And have your time of worship and magnify the Lord and ask yourself, how can I speak more, believe more, grow my faith in the ways that we have heard as we've looked at this subject. God bless you this week.